Scorpions Avenue.
Hey.
Hey.
What'd you think?
About what?
Did you get my text?
Oh.
Welcome to another episode of Did You Get My Text? And this episode has a special audio treat for you. If you listen carefully, you can hear the chainsaw outside of Meredith's window.
Oh. This week on Did You Get My Text, we talk about paranormal experience jealousy, arsenic and the great Wisconsin murder off, our obsession with Katie Porter and her whiteboard, and our first date. Hi, Patton Oswalt.
Hi, Meredith Salinger.
You're in New York and I'm in Los Angeles and there's a chainsaw outside my window.
I'm in central New York. There's a chainsaw outside your window, which is one of my favorite Tom Waits songs.
There's a chainsaw outside.
There's a chainsaw outside my window.
Oh yeah, that's Tom Waits.
Yeah. The highways in Syracuse are, I don't know what is going on with the design. There's a crazy nest of overpasses that I have to drive every day, and it's like they're designed to make this weird screaming sound. I would try to record it while I'm driving, but that feels dangerous. But it makes, like, as the cars go by, they do this, like everyone, it sounds like everyone is slamming on their brakes and about to die, but it's just the sound of the overpasses. It's a weird design.
And they're just going straight. There's no stopping and starting.
No, but just screaming highways. Like, the sound of the highway is screaming. Screaming Highways.
Oh, man.
Another good Tom Waits song.
Screaming Highways was his number one hit, I thought.
She left me on Screaming Highway.
What was that quote you said about Tom Waits and Natty Gann? What did you say?
Natty Gann is the Tom Waits of Disney princesses.
Oh, yeah.
She is. She's the Disney princess who, like, eats cold beans out of a can and just sits in an abandoned warehouse, you know, smoking a half cigs that she finds on the ground.
Wait, Natty Gann is the Disney princess of what?
Natty Gann is the Tom Waits of Disney princesses.
Thank you.
She's the hobo princess.
She's the hobo princess.
Yeah.
She wasn't a princess. Well, if Princess Leia is a princess and she's a self-rescuing princess, then Natty Gann is equally, but she's not a princess.
No, I know. But I mean, look, a lot of those Disney leads weren't princesses. And you could argue that making Mulan a Disney princess is an insult to Mulan, because her whole story is, I don't want to be a princess. It's boring. I want to be a warrior.
But was she born a princess?
I forget the story. I only saw the animated one.
Is Snow White born a princess? I mean, Cinderella is clearly a princess.
Yeah.
Belle's just a regular chick.
Right, exactly. And also, she also too would not want to be a princess.
She marries that dude and I think he's a prince. The Wolfman.
Right.
What's his name? The Beast.
You think he was the Wolf?
Belle and the...
Oh my God.
Belle and the Wolfman.
Belle and the Wolfman. You remember that classic Disney beloved story?
Wasn't that a 1970s TV show with Uncle Ben and the Bear? Benji, Bear and the... What?
I'm going to let your brain just kind of come to a halt. Keep going.
I don't know what you go. You take it from me. Please save me.
Out. I think you're thinking...
Rescue my brain.
I think you're thinking of Gentle Ben.
Was it Gentle Ben? I loved him so much.
Yeah,
that guy had
man,
a beard.
Dan Haggerty.
Yes, I love him.
With his giant, giant
oh my God,
bear.
He was the greatest.
And his real life.
He had the best shows back then.
It's weird watching Easy Rider and seeing a very young Dan Haggerty as a hippie at the commune that Dennis Hopper and Peter Fonda are making fun of. He's one of the hippies there. I'm like, where's your bear? Get your bear out here, dude. I swear to God. All right.
Did you get my text with the picture of the, what's it called? The power box. Did you get that text?
No. What? Wait.
You know, outside.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yes. I'm sorry. I got to scroll up. Yes, I did.
So you're away. And while you're gone, finally, there might be a funeral for your horrible, horrible car. Your car is so old.
How old is it?
It's so old that even your seats are ripped under your butt. It's so old that the mats are like worn down. It looks like a bear who's been burned in the forest.
Yes.
It's just old.
Yeah.
And it has so many dings, and you are such, according to lore, a terrible driver.
And also according to fact. And according to my driving record, I'm a horrible driver.
Well, in any event, your car is 700 years old, and it's great, and I know you love wearing them into the ground. But the good news is we're moving into the year 2021, where Greta Thunberg is changing the world.
Yes.
And she has changed it so much that our daughter is making us get, not that we wouldn't anyway, but we're getting an electric car.
Good.
So today, while you're there, I had the guy, he has to put like circuits and stuff like that and drill holes and put the thing so that for a charger for the car.
Mm-hmm. So hang on, is it in there or just the holes are there now?
No, he has to put a circuit breaker thingy and then he has to drill a hole. But we're doing it like in the most economical way possible.
Oh, this is like the 20th.
Although he did say, hey, copper wire has gone up 300% these days. And all. So he's the coolest guy, by the way. I love our electrician. He's like from North London. He's got like, oh, yeah, I think it'd be a not. Yeah, I think we could. I mean, it's amazing. His voice is amazing. Anyway, I love him
so much. Well, yeah, but I mean, that's the sign of the beginning of the end of a civilization when all of the precious metals start getting stripped from everything. And it really shows you where we are economically, that copper wire and any kind of like bronze plaques or anything like that are just getting stripped off of everything.
I mean, people break into like new houses that haven't been moved into yet and they smash the walls and they steal the.
Yes, they do.
The metals, like all the copper wiring and the lead pipe. They don't have lead pipes anymore, but you know what I mean.
Because America's in decline, and pretty soon we're going to be living in a lawless road warrior society. But until then, I'll have a nice electric car, which is nice.
Yes, so I'm very excited. So you're gone, mm-hmm. and anyway, your car's not ready for like another month. So by the time you get back, hopefully, you'll have a car instead of hobbling along in a putt.
Oh, I like.
You're like Fred Flintstone, but with like smoke coming out of his.
Yeah, I'm like Wonderbug, but we didn't find the magic horn.
Yeah, like in the Wacky Races, I'd be like the Penelope pit stop who flew right by you, and you're like Dick Dastardly, like upset in the mud with your little putt card broken down.
And that little wheezing dog.
I'm Penelope pit stop.
You know, I just realized that getting the charger, that's the 21st century equivalent of getting your house cable ready in the 80s. Remember when people first started getting their cable boxes and it was such a big deal when cable kind of spread like wildfire and everyone started? Remember the very first cable boxes?
Oh, those things that you had to press that. They were like, are you talking about those big brown things with the tan buttons that you press down like that? Why was everything brown and tan in the 70s?
You know what? That is.
Isn't it true? Or yellow and orange.
That was the thing. But what was that? What was in media that made people go, I want that color? What were we looking at that made us go, that's the color I want?
My bedroom had, the hallway to my bedroom had green wallpaper, like floral velvet. It was like, God. No, it wasn't velvet, but it was like regular white wallpaper, but it had like, you know, like those roller things that make a pattern. It had like this green 1970s pattern that looked like wallpaper, but it wasn't wallpaper, it was paint.
You know, back in Victorian times, that green wallpaper was very, very popular, but it was colored with arsenic. And there was a rage for everything green, and people were dying left and right.
They're dying for the color green.
It really was that people would.
Oh, could you die for it?
Oh, absolutely. But it was also the man.
No, I mean, like, you know, another lady is looking at her stuff and she's like, I love your green dining room. Could you just die for it?
Give me 2 weeks and check back with me. But apparently, just like with smoking, and I feel like it's the same thing with vaping, the manufacturers of that color who were all, you know, millionaires paid for fake science and fake reports to go, no, this is hysteria. There's nothing dangerous here. They used that green paint to paint like children's toys.
And my God.
Arsenic deaths were crazy.
Arsenic?
It was all colored with arsenic.
I mean, if you touch arsenic, don't you just die? You have to like ingest it. I watch so many murder shows, you'd think I'd know by now.
Well, yeah, wouldn't you know this, for God's sake?
I mean, I feel like Dateline, first of all, I love it, but it is a murderer's handbook, really. I mean, like you watch the cases and they're like, oh, this is how we got the guy.
Do you think that there will eventually be an episode of Dateline where they cover a murder and the murderer watched other episodes of Dateline to learn what not to do and what to avoid to try to get away with it? Do you think that will, or do you think that's already happened?
Oh, I'm sure so many murderers have watched Dateline. I think it's their thing.
You know what it is? Oh my God.
I think they watch, but there's like Forensic Files and there's CSI and there's all those shows. And of course, if I'm like serial killers, I think are like the people who are like super into murder and they probably watch all those shows.
Oh my God. Those shows are like the Great British Bake Off for them.
Exactly. Oh, I just love cooking. I'm going to watch the Great British Bake Off. Oh, I'm going to murder some people today. Let me just brush
up.
I
need some recipe ideas and some murder tips.
Yeah.
What should I do?
The thing is, with all those other shows, they're like, this is more like a documentary style situation. Like, The Great Bake Off is like a reality show, like, you have to win something.
But don't they say, like, oh, you used too much butter and that's why it's collapsing, or oh, you didn't, like, when stuff goes wrong, they'll point that shit out.
Oh, so maybe there should be a new show, like a reality show, like Best Murderer. Like, hey, you used your knife, actually, the handle of that knife had too much butter, which is why you not only stabbed him, but you cut yourself. You need a grip. You need like a tennis racket grip on that thing.
The Great Wisconsin Murder Off, and they could have like celebrity judges. So you'd have like, you know, Tia Carrera there and Rick Astley and, you know, maybe Tony Danza. And they go, hey, I liked how you made calls on the dead person's payphone and make it seem like they were still alive, but, you know, they can always trace.
Oh my gosh. Every time I watch one of those shows, I totally am like, oh, I would have done this. Like, I think, doesn't everyone do that? I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have made that mistake.
I bet that's part of the appeal. I remember I was watching this documentary about the making of the movie Psycho, and the screenwriter, Joseph Stefano, said at one point he and Hitchcock were together and they were working out how Norman Bates would get rid of the dead body after he kills the woman in the shower. Like, how would you get rid of that body? And so they really got into, like, you would have to get the curtain down. They were working it out. They got so into it that Hitchcock's secretary came in and they both like jumped up like they'd been caught.
Planning a murder.
Not planning a murder, covering up a murder. Like,
right.
We've been caught with a dead body. What do we do?
Right. Well, first of all those people who bury the person in their backyard, why would you do that?
Right.
I know you got to like hide it fast real quick.
Yeah.
Maybe you just had to hide it fast. But the people who like redo their lawns and then they put like a cement thing over it. There's lots of those kinds of people.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, the neighbors whose house is dilapidated finally decided to fix up their lawn.
Right. Yeah. There's always a very shitty director named Al Adamson was killed by a guy he had hired to work on his house. And the guy buried him.
Oh, right. I saw that one.
Yeah, Al Adamson, who made like Dracula versus Frankenstein and all these.
Oh, you told me that story. It's amazing.
And the guy like pretty much put him underneath the hot tub and then poured cement on him and then like left. Like if he had just stayed around town and had been equally concerned, but he like went to Florida and got a really nice hotel room. Everyone was like, dude.
Don't act guilty, people. Yeah, like that's another thing. You're going to kill someone. Like, get it together.
Although I'm sure a lot of these murders are like
chill.
Crazy crimes of passion. They're like, oh, God, now what do I do? Like, they weren't planning it out.
Correct.
Yeah. So.
Right. But it's sort of like when we went into Iraq, like we went in all gung ho, but didn't have a plan, like how we're going to get out. And I think some people do think about how they're going to kill someone. And then they but they don't think about like once they're dead, now what? I think they forget about that part. It's like when we went to Iraq, we didn't have like an exit strategy. We didn't know how, you know, all that stuff.
I think that's a bit of a misnomer because I think the strategy, at least from the Bush administration, was to go in, get control of the oil fields, and they didn't care about an exit strategy.
No,
so,
but they didn't think about the things like who's the new tyrant who's going to take over and what do we do when that happens?
What I'm saying is they didn't care, but for them, it was like a corporate takeover. And also they thought, you know, George Bush very famously said after Saddam fell and the Shiites and Sunnis started fighting.
Oh, we're getting into a whole new topic. Let's take a break. We'll kick and we'll get to the Shiites and the Sunnis. We'll be right back. Okay, we are back. And Patton was just telling me about something that George Bush said.
We went from the murder of exploitation filmmaker Al Adamson straight into the debacle in Iraq, which, again, totally logical.
Segway.
I mean, there was...
Honey, everything segues. I mean, can you even remember where we started at this point?
No, I don't.
Where did this whole thing start? I love doing that. I love trying to remember what the thing was that then led you to the other thing. I think this is where you put that in my wife likes pot.
Or Patton's rabbit hole. But basically, I don't think that they... I think that the Bush administration and all the neocon war hawks were thinking, we'll go in there, kill this guy, get the oil. Whatever happens afterwards, you know, Rumsfeld very famously said, hey, stuff happens. They just openly didn't care.
Wait. I'm sorry. Let me stop you right there. Rumsfeld very famously said, hey, what? What did he say?
They were talking about how the...
What was the quote you just said?
He said, stuff happens.
Okay, Rumsfeld famously said, stuff happens.
Yes.
Honey.
He was.
Okay, let me ask you something. If I said to somebody, who very famously said, stuff happens?
I remember that was a big story because they were talking about.
But you can't just walk up to someone and go, this person famously said, stuff happens. And who was it? It's everybody. Shit happens, stuff happens.
The insurgents were literally looting the National Museum of Iraq, which literally contains artifacts from the Bible, for God's sakes. And and they were asking him about that.
Yeah, stuff happens.
And he said, he goes, well, look, stuff happens. And he also said, you go to war with the army you have, not the army you want. Because it was such
a... You marry the husband you have, not the husband you want. What? Oh, no, that's Love the One You're With. Yeah. That's where you, that song
you,
came
you
from.
You age out of the dating pool and you grab the last branch before you hit the ground. That's hey, how we...
Remember I'm that so happy you were right there to swing off. I'm like a monkey on you.
Like, I'm just saying, you know...
I go down the tree like a little monkey, and then I just land on you and just swing back and forth.
This one's all right.
He's cozy. Yeah, like,
when all the sectarian violence started, George Bush said, I thought they were all Muslim. Like, he didn't understand that there were different sects and that they would start fighting and they didn't have anything planned. But at the same time, I'm not defending his plan because it was horrifying. But in their mind, they're like, I don't care what happens once we get the oil. They can all die. Like, they didn't care. It wasn't we need to...
Baby, we're talking about the Republicans.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you say they didn't care, it sort of, you know, goes with the territory.
It always,
all right.
When people try to own them for not having an exit strategy, and I always say, that was always their strategy, to let it all burn to the ground as long as they get the oil. You know? So.
We are a terrible country. We just have terrible people. But we also have amazing people. And I'm not going to start getting into it. But dear Lord, we have some great people. We really do.
That was the...
Sorry, it's just... I was just suddenly like thinking of Katie Porter.
We've got some good people. But we're...
Sorry,
terrible.
I literally was like thinking of like bad Republicans. And then I was like, we have great people. And then I was picturing all these amazing women. They just popped into my head. Like, if you're listening and you don't know who Katie Porter is, please go on whatever search engine you use and type in Katie Porter whiteboard. And then watch all the ways she owns people with her brilliance. It's like the best show I've ever watched. Oh my God.
It isn't even that she owns people. She is asking them for
just
answers.
Questions
that
about...
That they should absolutely have. She'll like talk to the person who's in charge of a very specific thing and they will go, well, I don't really have that in front of me. She goes, well, it's this.
$4.6 billion.
And how do you...
Yeah, she'll say
that. But also like, how... You're the guy running it. How do you not know?
Well, guess what? It's the question that they get asked that they suddenly don't know the answer to because they don't want to say, and what was your bonus this year? I couldn't tell you. It was $4 billion.
Yeah.
There are people dying in the streets and your bonus was $4 billion. And you're raising prices on pharmaceuticals on people and you haven't done any... all of your money is going toward making you more money, not actually changing the formula or anything where it's suddenly this drug is now even more helpful than before, which explained the price hike
you're
to regular people.
You're right. You're absolutely right. It's not that they don't know. They like, oh, I better not
say. They just don't want to say. They don't want to go, oh yeah, $4 billion.
I'm making that much? Oh my gosh.
Who knew?
Hmm.
Anyway, yeah, Katie Porter's awesome.
Yeah.
I love her so much. I have a t-shirt with her face on it. I actually have a t-shirt with 9 of her faces on it because it's like a Warhol thing where it's like,
really?
Anyway, I like her. Can you tell?
The Warhol composite is getting a little tired, but I mean, I get it, but it's like, okay, guys, enough with the Warhol thing. Think of some other stuff, please.
Well, you know, it's an easy thing. You put someone in a few different colors and pop, you're done.
Did you go to the Warhol exhibit when it was at MoMA like years ago?
I did not.
They had this really cool, it was an audio tour you could buy. And it was, as you walk along, you put the thing in your ear and then someone narrates and tells you what you're looking at as you, you know. And it was Dennis Hopper. Dennis Hopper did the audio tour. So you've got Dennis Hopper in your ear guiding you through it. And one of the first things on the wall was a Warhol soup can, you know, those Campbell soup cans he did. But there were drips coming off of it, like a Jackson Pollock. And it's the only Andy Warhol that had, because at the time, his agent...
Was it a collaboration?
It was not a collaboration. It was his agent saying, stuff with drips sells. If you want to sell this, put some drips on it. And Dennis Hopper organized one of the first exhibitions of Andy Warhol on the West Coast, and he bought that painting for $70. He was chewed out by his business manager the next week because he hadn't done a movie in years and was broke. And it's now priceless. It's the only Warhol soup can that has drips coming off of it.
Wow.
And Dennis Hopper bought it for $70, and his business manager took him in and was, what are you doing with your money? What is this? Like, he couldn't understand what he was doing. It was so cool. So you could kind of hear him going, and my business manager said it was a terrible idea. Now it's priceless. Now it's just loaned to museums from the Dennis Hopper collection. It's priceless.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
That's so cool.
I love that.
So I just remembered how we got to the topic of Iraq. It all started with, I said, did you get my text about the electrical booth outside our house? And that's how we got to Iraq.
Oh, that's it.
Don't you
okay.
love those kinds of things?
It somehow got, and then it went into cable TV.
Well, then people can just listen to the podcast and they can figure out where it went. But
we should constantly review every moment of the podcast as we do it and just make this.
Okay, you guys, we're going to do a recap of the last 5 minutes. Hey, Patton, let's talk for the next 7 minutes about a recap of the last 5 minutes.
Yeah,
so anyway, it started with... Oh, funny.
So,
I just wanted to say that from our last podcast, I was talking to you about Aspen soda and food sticks, and I found the 1979 commercials, and they were hilarious. I feel like we should just put those up on our Instagram so people can see them.
Those
anyway, we can move on from the topic.
Well, the Aspen commercials, when you watch them, it is so clearly they're trying to do a metaphor for being on cocaine. Like that.
No, they're not.
Yes, it is. They're in this overlit white Narnia winter wasteland.
Yes.
And one thing is Aspen soda, and it's two very white yacht rock people.
Oh, but they're so tan and handsome.
Yeah, they're in a...
The girl is so 70s. She's so Jacqueline Smith.
I thought it was an actress named Carolyn Monroe, but it's not. But she's gorgeous, and he's very handsome.
Did you look it up? Did you look up to see who the actress was?
I was looking at all the comments underneath, and then I went on Carolyn Monroe's IMDb, and she never did an Aspen soda commercial, so it's not her.
Well, why would they list a commercial? I've done a million commercials that they haven't listed.
Sometimes they list people's commercials.
And when I say I've done a million commercials, I think I've done like 9.
But yeah, it's clear, like, that commercial, they're on a planet of cocaine enjoying Aspen soda. And also Aspen, Colorado, cocaine capital, you know,
Aspen, Colorado's the cocaine capital.
Look, I've done the Aspen Comedy Fest twice. I've never seen more coked out liberals in my life.
Just coked out girls?
Men and women, coked out. And I remember I went from a show, me and Chris Farley left a show and walked to another venue.
Chris Farley and I, sorry.
And he was whacked out of his skull, and he was nowhere near as crazed as the people that were around us.
I mean, did you have the best life being a young comedian? Was that so fun?
Look, if you're young and you even have an inkling that you might be creative, go into the creative arts. It's even when you don't totally succeed, it's still awesome.
I say so,
too. You hang out with the most interesting people, and you're just with creative people all day.
Make you laugh, people that have insights, and yeah.
You're at the source of where things are being created. You're not getting it secondhand in an office where someone's quoting what they saw on South Park or SNL the night before.
Yeah, but that being said, there are some funny people who work. They're real funny people. And yeah.
No, I'm just saying, I just loved the hang before anything else.
Yeah, I do too.
Before the success was, these are my hours. Like, I'm awake while the world's asleep. This is awesome. Like, I love this.
Yeah. I love when you're on set, and then if you're working with a big, fun cast, and then
yes,
like the lighting people have to go light, and you guys are all just hanging out. It was especially fun when I was younger because we all had to be in school. So like there'd be like, it was like Matthew Perry and me and Ione and River Phoenix. And we'd all just be hanging out while we're supposed to be in school. It was the best time.
Yeah.
We used to have so much fun.
Yeah. I didn't get into show business till I was much older. So my school was actual school, but yeah.
My school was school too. I just, when I had to do a movie.
Yeah.
Right. I had to do it for like however long the movie was. So for like 3 months, you have to have a set teacher.
Did you always get the same set teacher or was dependent on the studio that was doing it?
Let me tell you something. The set teachers that they would hire back then,
yeah,
they were like social workers. They weren't even like, I mean, they were supposed to be set tutors, but they also had to like fill out the time card for you because you had to get 3 hours in.
Oh.
So if you were in the middle of filming and then they're like, okay, everybody take a 15-minute break, they'd pull you into school. And then she'd be like, okay, you got 10 minutes. And I'm thinking, I can't focus like 10 minutes at a time for school. This is ridiculous.
Right. Yeah.
And then I would just like have to do my own studying because they didn't know what they were doing.
So this is why you still can't read and write. Is that the reason?
This is why I'm so flippin' smart and I can teach myself.
So where we're filming right now, again, I'm in Syracuse and we're filming near this area for the next couple days that apparently it's called the 13 Curves. There's this part of the highway that is very, very twisty through the woods, and it's supposedly very, very haunted. And there are apparently in the early 60s, and again, I've never seen any official documentation on this. I started looking online. There was a bride going to her wedding, and she got into a horrible car accident, and she died, and people see her ghost in her bridal gown alongside the road as they drive. That's the legend of the 13 Curves. And then everyone else, and then other websites said the whole area is a hotbed for paranormal activity and there's all kind of craziness. And so tonight is a night shoot. I have to go there I don't go there till 9 o'clock tonight. So so I will go there in the nighttime. But here's the thing, and here's why I'm bringing this up. I could not be more open to a paranormal experience, and I have never had one. Never.
Me
and
too.
I mean, I've never seen a ghost. I've never seen a cryptid, never seen a UFO, never experienced a time slip, never experienced
Dude, I don't think anybody's nothing. Experienced a time slip or a crypt, whatever the hell you're talking about.
Cryptid,
the
like only seeing thing- Bigfoot, seeing Loch Ness Monster.
Okay, well, you know, really? Nobody's really seen those things.
People claim they have. I'm just saying, I haven't done any of it, and I'm surrounded by people. So many of my friends have had kind of profound supernatural encounters that are like, what the, whoa. And so I just feel like it's just not going to happen. And one of these days I'm going to get to set and one of the crew members will go, hey, you know what happened last night when I was driving home? I saw the bride. Everyone calls her the bride.
And, the bride. That's scary. Bride. Has anyone done a movie? They should do a documentary.
I'm sure there's a million online documentaries.
Well, I want to try and find it. That sounds spooky. I like it. When I was little, I lived in Point Doom, mm-hmm. In Malibu on a peninsula. Like at the very end of it it's called Point Doom, and you're kind of like out.
Right.
Anyway, I looked up in the sky and I saw like two very fast moving somethings. It was clearly not an airplane, and I got really scared. And I called my grandma, who was living in Florida at the time, and I was like, "Grandma, I see." And she's like, "Oh, I'm sure it's nothing." Da da da. And then she called the naval base or something near us, and they're like, oh yeah, we're just it's everything's fine. But you know, it could have been, it also might not have been. I was a little kid, but I've never seen a ghost, but I do believe that like little spirits kind of watch over you. Like I thought my grandpa showed up as a butterfly a few times, you know.
I've never had that.
Or like I lost an earring and it was like a big deal earring, and this is when I was younger, and I went out for the day. I came back. I put my head. I looked at my pillow, and anyway, it was on my pillow. Mm-hmm. It wasn't me. I didn't put it there. I didn't lose it in the middle of the night. It was just like placed there, like a little ring pillow.
Never had.
And I think my grandpa did that.
Close to that, even close to that, and I'm so.
Anyway, I went off to Point Doom, and I said regarding the UFO thing, I was like, on the peninsula at night, dark skies, you could see the stars. and the ocean and da da da. And I'm like, if you are a if there's a UFO out there, just come show yourself to me. I will believe you. Tell me what you need me to say. I will help you. And I like said it out loud. Mm-hmm. And I was just going, I'm the person you want to speak to.
How old were you when this happened?
Well, when I saw the thing, I was like 5 or 7. No, I couldn't have been. I was like 10 when I saw that thing and called my grandma. And then later, when I was more like 15, I said that thing.
Have you ever done like a search for 1980 Point Doom UFO sightings or any like maybe other people saw it? You should maybe do
a search. Yeah, wow. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Maybe that happened. Because I'm saying I grew up in Northern Virginia, surrounded not only by Civil War battlefields, but Revolutionary War battlefields. Leesburg, everything around me, there was a friggin' battlefield. The nearby high school, Bull Run, was named after a very famous, one of my favorite Civil War battles. But, well, it was named because this, I don't have all the details down. I learned this in high school, but I remember this detail so great. There was going to be a huge battle at Bull Run, and all the wealthy area people like had a picnic, set up picnic on a hill to watch the battle. They were over where the battlefield was. Like, oh, we'll have a picnic and watch these soldiers. And one of the armies, either the Union or the Confederate Army, retreated. And the other army was so jacked up and still wanted to fight that they pointed their cannons up at the picnickers and just started firing at them.
Is that
and
true?
They all had to, yes. And they all, and the picnickers had to flee because these guys were so amped up and they were like, it was like the battle ended too soon. Like, I didn't even get to fire a shot.
I didn't get to kill anyone.
The motherfuckers.
You killed three people.
They just started like shooting. Yeah. You got to kill like 2 guys. So
I didn't get anyone. Let me try.
They started shooting at these fucking picnickers.
They're like, kill Adam. He's slow. And then like, he's like, okay, nobody likes Adam. Kill him. Yeah, there you go.
So that. But again, I should have been seeing ghosts all the fucking time. There should have been
maybe
ghosts.
Maybe they didn't feel like they could. Maybe they had nothing to say to you.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't want to talk to you.
Exactly.
Just kidding. But
also, by the way, there is that theory that some people vibrate at a frequency where they can see those other realms and some people can't. And maybe I'm just not vibrating on that realm.
Vibrate, man. Get on that realm.
But, you know, when I was working at Waxy Maxy's, Stonewall Jackson should have
walked. Yeah, when I was working at Waxy Maxy's. Yeah. Sorry, I'm making fun of you.
I mean, do you have the new Hot album? I'd love to buy
Baby,
it.
Baby, I can hear that ball bouncing, and I'm sure it's bothering everybody else. Hey, you, stop it. Stop it. Ugh.
I'm sure I bounce it on purpose. I'm sure they heard
it. You don't
it.
Bounce it on purpose for people to listen to.
It adds some mystery to it. It's like when they say cranberry sauce at the end of Strawberry Fields, and everyone thought it was I Buried Paul.
What?
At the end of Strawberry Fields Forever, you hear one of the Beatles goes, everyone thought he was going, I buried Paul.
And what does he say?
Remember everyone thought that Paul was dead? Remember
no.
Was that whole rumor that Paul McCartney died?
No.
And was replaced by a double? You never heard that conspiracy theory?
Never.
That Paul McCartney was killed and replaced by a double.
That's a Virginia thing.
Nobody heard that. British thing in the 60s. But anyway, everyone thought, oh, he says I buried Paul. But according to Paul McCartney, they're like, no, one of us said cranberry sauce, like as a joke.
Oh, wait, just like that song where you said, it's my donuts, goddamn.
Oh, but Sweet Home Alabama.
Sweet Home
This still
Alabama.
Drives me crazy. If you listen at the end, you can hear Van Zant say, my fucking donuts, goddamn. And they cut out fucking. It sounds like
right.
My fucking donuts, goddamn. And the story was he always had a thing of Krispy Kreme donuts in the control booth that he would eat after he would do his work.
Krispy Kreme?
Krispy Kreme.
I don't think they had that back then.
Oh, sweetie, did you watch the movie Driving Miss Daisy? They have Krispy Kreme in that movie. That Krispy Kreme's been around for decades. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, it only came to California in like 95 or something.
Things don't exist only when they come to California. They're
well, I know, but I'm
the
just
world saying. Out there.
I just thought it was a new thing. I didn't know.
But apparently, no, they've been around since the 30s or 40s in the South.
Oh.
But one of the guys held up the empty box like we all ate your donuts. And he went, my fucking donuts, goddamn.
Goddamn. I know. It really, it does sound like it is exactly
but
that.
According
it
to Wikipedia and other sources I've read, he's saying Montgomery's got the answer. But if you.
No, I heard my donuts, goddamn. That's what it says.
My fucking donuts, goddamn. That's what he's saying.
I know.
And I want someone,
either if somebody here was here with the Swampers that can corroborate this.
Wait, is he still alive?
Oh, sweetie. You don't know about the...
Just tell me.
Died in a plane crash. Leonard Skinner.
Leonard Skinner, what? No.
The band had a massive plane crash and that's...
They did not?
Yes, they did. And half the band died.
What?
Yes. Sweetie.
I'm looking it up.
You're going to look it up? Remember that scene in Con Air when they're all...
Oh my God, they endured one of the worst tragedies in music history.
Yes.
In 1977. Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Okay, we got to think of a new segment, which is Today Meredith Learned, because there's so
well,
much...
Well, everybody does it on Twitter. They go, I was today years old when
T-I-L,
I learned
yeah.
that.
Oh, T-I-L.
You know.
Remember the scene in Con Air when they're all singing to Sweet Home Alabama, and then Steve Buscemi goes, define irony, a plane full of idiots singing a song by a band who died in a plane crash.
Oh.
Anyway, so yeah, there's no like, I've just never had a paranormal experience.
Well, listen, aliens, if you're out there, Patton Oswalt would like to experience, talk to him. He's open. Now he's open.
I'll get your message out. Look, I got a lot of Twitter followers. I'll tweet your message out, man. I'll Instagram it. I don't care. You know, talk to me. I'll tweet your message out. Hey, Meredith.
Yes?
Did you get my text?
Which one?
This was...
Oh, wait. The Shutters one?
Yes. So we're recording this on May 20th, which is the 4-year anniversary of when we actually met each other in the flesh. We had been texting for 3 months before that. We actually met. We decided to meet at Shutters on the Beach on May 20th. And we met, and it was beautiful, and we walked on the beach and watched people playing chess and watched those crazy, what are those, neon bicycles riding around?
They were like lit up bicycles at night.
It was beautiful.
We were just supposed to have a 45-minute drink, mm-hmm. and then I was like, do you want to go for a walk on the beach?
Yeah.
And then we walked on the beach, and then we sat and watched these old guys playing life-size chess and little and regular. Like, they built a chessboard on the beach. And the pieces were the size of people.
On the boardwalk, there was a huge...
On the boardwalk.
And these guys... And there were also guys just...
And then there were also regular guys playing real chess.
Table, yeah.
And then we saw, like, the guys at Muscle Beach doing all these acrobatics. And we saw... Oh, and then it started to get, like, sunset.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you want to get dinner? And so we held hands. Mm-hmm. And we went and had dinner. Mm-hmm. And... At night, you could look through the window. We were sitting right over the ocean, and you could see these bikes going by that were lit up with neon.
Oh, yeah, that was really
cool. This electric parade of bikes and skateboards and just cool stuff.
Well, anyway, I posted about it today on Instagram, and I got this really nice message from... I'm going to read it. I was at Shutters on the Beach a few years ago in the main lobby, and I saw you two walk up from the downstairs restaurant one evening.
Let me read the next part. It says... I know, of course, because I'm a fan and I recognized you. And no exaggeration, I still remember how you were both smiling ear to ear, beaming, looking so happy. Okay, you can finish reading it.
Like you were walking on air. From your last post, I pieced together that it may have been, maybe, the first date you mentioned. If so, I'm very happy to have been witness to the magic of that night for you too.
Wouldn't that be cool if that person was, and wouldn't have been even cooler if they were like, taking pictures of each other, and maybe we would have been in the background, and that could have been a picture of like the first time we met.
That could be like the same corroboration. If you go research your Point Doom UFO story, we're starting to have witnesses to the event that can say I was in that lobby on May 20th, 2017, and I witnessed it because someone else witnessed us in that lobby. I'm assuming, or maybe.
Oh, are you talking about that woman?
Yes.
Oh God, we walked up the stairs. And at the table inside the restaurant was, oh God, she's not very nice. If I say her name, she's going to be so mean to us. Anyway, it was Ann Coulter. She's just not nice. She knows she's not nice. I think she builds her brand on that. So I'm not saying anything that's not something she would want.
No.
I think she'd be like, yeah, please, you're a horrible liberal. Please say I'm not nice.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it would like give her more street creds. So not that she needs it for me.
You're welcome.
Anyway, she was there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just trying. I just don't want her to get mad at me.
No. It was either...
I just saw her sitting there.
Yeah. It was either her or a coat rack covered in demon skin. It could have been one of the two. I'm not sure, but I'm assuming it was Ann Coulter. at a table. But yeah, so that was, so we were witnessed by this nice lady and also Ann Coulter.
So look, we've got two sides of the scale. Somebody sweet enough to email us. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Yeah.
We're surrounded by duality in life.
Oh my God. We experience both and the yin and the yang.
We do. And that's why we go so well together.
We really do.
Am I the yin to your yang or are you the yin to my yang? I think I'm the yin to your yang.
I think it's ever shifting, which I think
makes someone's got to be yin and someone's got to be yang.
Yeah, well, exactly. But what I'm saying is sometimes.
I think they each mean something different. You know, if the yin is positive, then that one's me.
Yeah.
If the yang is dark,
but there's been times when you've been negative and dark and I've had to be the positive one. That's part of what's important in relationship, is that you're not in fixed roles. The roles shift, but they constantly complement. That's the key. It's not just going,
yeah, man,
this person's down and this person's up. You're like, wait, no, that always shifts as long as they're balanced.
Hey, man, I'm with you.
All right.
I agree. I love you and I love whatever we are. All of it.
Whatever we are.
Well, I mean, like the yin and the yang and the positive and the dark and the good and the bad and the interesting and, you know, all that.
Yeah, stuff. The Lennon and the McCartney.
I just love us, basically, is what I'm trying to
thank
say.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you so much for.
Wait, but for real, you know how Princess Leia says to Han Solo, I love you, and he goes, I know?
Yeah.
Do you know what happens?
This is our exchange all the time. Ready? This is me. I love you.
You should. That's ours. I love you. You should.
Yeah, you should. That's, you know what? Good move. Keep doing that.
I'm even bossy in love.
Yeah. Bossy in love.
Bossy in love.
Doesn't that sound like one of those Lifetime Hallmark movies?
Bossy in love. It sounds like a pet version, though.
Or,
it sounds
like a hard-driving woman who owns a dairy farm, and she's trying to get her prize cow to hook up with this other cow, and the male cow is owned by... Like Rob Lowe plays the male cow owner, and she's who would play her? Like Hillary Burton would play her, and she's got the female cow.
Why
bossy.
Can't I play her?
Do you want to be in a Hallmark movie?
No, I mean yes, of course I would.
Okay, you're the.
Wait a second, I have been in a Hallmark movie.
Which one?
A million years ago,
yeah.
I did a movie with Glenn Ford. He played my grandfather, and it was a Hallmark Hall of Fame. I don't think that's
that was A Wonderful World of Disney.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, Candace Cameron is so, she needs to take all those roles. I want to see her in everything. A Christmas in Virginia, a Christmas in Cyan.
Hillary Burton, who's also from Sterling, Virginia, my hometown, has been in a bunch of those, and she's been in a bunch of Christmas ones. They make a lot of those Christmas ones, like every year. I think that's, like, I guess in the summer, they're like, well, we're shooting our Christmas one right now.
Yeah.
That's a good gig.
A Christmas gig. Hey, speaking of which, maybe you should play Santa in something. You'll be like the next Tim Allen and you can be a Santa Claus.
Or we could do a Joker style origin story, like a Todd Phillips kind of movie. You know, just call it Santa, but it's really gritty and it's about this toy maker in the inner city and he just wants to make toys and he's just getting the crap kicked out of him. And
then he becomes the Joker because like Santa's better than him.
No, he like...
Oh my God, can we mix universes, the God universe with Santa and then the Marvel universe with... Or the DC universe?
Well, I'm just saying he would, like, use some kind of weird chemical. There's, like, a drug dealer who's selling poisoned heroin. So he steals the heroin and like, has to hide it. So he injects it into some reindeers. And they can, like, either fly or just run super fast. And he can go all through the city and, like...
Oh, my God. Did you hear about that guy who had that horse that won the Kentucky Derby or whatever? Or whatever.
So
the Preakness or whatever it was. And the owner's like, I don't know how he got steroids. And he's like such a, the guy looks like such a.
He's so sleazy. Like
a Palm Beach sleazy drug.
But what did
person.
He, why did, what, why was he claiming that his horse got disqualified? He had a very specific thing. Because they tested it. The horse had
cancel drugs. Culture or something
cancel
like that.
Culture.
He's like, you know, everyone's against us amazing white rich people. I think they're just canceling him
because
he's
also,
so fast.
Yeah, and also because your horse is full of drugs. Yeah, those two things.
Yeah. I wonder how he got full of drugs. And apparently that has happened like 9 times with that horse, that specific horse.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's had 9 failed drug tests. That guy is a junkie.
That horse is basically Iggy Pop at this point.
They should just call him, you know, the horse is junkie on the field.
They should just call him horse. Like, as the slang term for heroin, like that lowercase h, horse.
I just learned that, too, the other day. I never knew that.
Really?
Yeah, the things you know. Patton Oswalt, I love you so much.
I love you too, baby. Let's talk soon.
This podcast is a production of Meredith Salinger and Patton Oswalt.
In association with Starburns Audio. Executive producers are Cliff Dorfman and Jason Smith. And if you have questions for us, send them to...
Hey, did you get my text? At gmail.com. And don't forget, subscribe to this podcast. It's free, and it helps us get to keep making the show.
Starburns Audio, a podcast. A podcast network.